Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. So cultivating joy. Well, first of all, we were obviously in New River Gorge with Grandma Joy at specific points.
It's true, we were.
So it's kind of like a double meaning here.
Yeah.
But I found that cultivating joy is so rewarding, but it takes a lot of work. And it's a lot of like moving through, like in my own personal life and journey. And I feel like you probably would say the same. It's like moving past a lot of parts of yourself that aren't necessary anymore and things that are like holding you back in order to propel yourself into a space where you feel just fully at home with yourself. And that I think allows you the opportunity to actually cultivate that joy, to like operate in that space.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like part of that work is a part of the healing work, right?
Yeah.
Getting your mind in a place where it's like not debilitated by automatic thoughts that are connected to moments in your life when you did not receive what you needed or did not have the support that you needed or were made to feel less than you are.
Yeah.
When your mind is like coded in these, and I say coded like COAT. In these experiences that you've never really processed or acknowledged or called out any of the feelings associated with them.
Yeah.
And seeing sort of like why reactions you're having now are connected to this moment from your past. I feel like that's when we really get into the space of your heart wants to embrace something, but your mind is telling you you can't. And your mind is telling you, no, that's not for you. And your mind is holding you back, right?
Yeah.
It's like your body and your heart are like open and ready to receive, but yet you convince yourself out of believing that you are ready for
And worthy.
And worthy of any of that.
Yeah, that dirty bitch, the mind.
Well, I mean, that's part of what, you know, distorted thinking is.
Sure.
You know, like catastrophizing and worry, anxiety. It's all connected to distorted thinking.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that contribute to distorted thinking, right? But I have found that cultivating joy for me has become a lot, I mean, not only a lot easier, but I feel like cultivating joy has become more of a routine process in my own life when I have worked through the trauma of the past.
You know? Totally. Yeah. And I feel like for the first time in a long time, I'm in that space, like where that is like more readily available, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think that time with people that you love and you care about helps you to kind of enter into that joy space a little bit easier and allows it to be a little bit more on tap, like readily on tap. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So that is something that like, it doesn't keep it there because obviously if you're not in a headspace for that, but it does sort of activate it in a beautiful way, like where it's just sort of like this glimpse of euphoria for a minute, but like getting to a space where that is a possibility on like a daily basis is such a beautiful place to be. And I think that that is very true of where I'm at right now. I feel like same for you.
Yeah.
I also feel like if there's any person that I've ever met that feels like that is their life, it is Grandma Joy. Like what a perfectly apt name, you know, for her to carry with her, because her outlook is so incredible, especially for where she is in her life.
And something that I think is really important is that in the work of cultivating joy, I think really the work is in cultivating circumstances mm-hmm. whereby joy can be felt yeah. and where joy can be experienced and where joy can happen, right? I mean, I felt like I'd been doing that unconsciously, but now I feel like I am doing it consciously, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I felt like we were able to connect so deeply to Brad, Grandma Joy, and Jess, and Evan Williams, mm-hmm. for that matter, is that they too are people who are in the business of cultivating circumstances wherein joy can be experienced for everyone.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting the land also known as New River Gorge, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Manitan, Yuki, Shawanwaki, Shawnee, and Tutelo peoples.
If you joined us for our last full-length episode, episode 86, you heard all about our epic hike along the Big Branch Trail with Brian, Tino, and our dear, dear dog friend, Shay, who is Brian and Tino's dog.
Who is the beagle.
He is a beagle.
And he's a lovely, he's a tender, sweet boy.
He is a tender, sweet boy.
He is. That trail was a lot of fun, and it was our first strenuous trail with a dog friend.
Yeah,
go ahead and listen to Big Branch Trail so you can hear all about that.
Good times, but some tension for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Bum, bum, bum. We had a blast on the trail, but Shay definitely was wiped out. And Brian and Tino, basically when we were planning the trip, were like, hey, listen, we're along for whatever, but we're not going to do like a million miles like you guys do every day. So this was sort of like their, I think, exit strategy and like, oh, well, Shay's really tired and we're also good to stop now.
But also part of that compromise is like, you know, we had one car mm-hmm. and Brian and Tino were like, but we will drop you off.
It
doesn't matter. Like, and that's the sign of like good travel companions.
Oh my God.
Part of the compromise, but also like clear about interests.
Yeah.
And reality checking expectations before we're even gone, before we even leave, right?
Yeah.
Healthy, healthy, healthy stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Reasons we love traveling with them.
But the two of us are consummate sadists when it comes to hiking. So we wanted to push the limits a little bit. And we decided that we would like to go to hike the Grand View section of New River Gorge in the afternoon.
Yes. This was our last full day mm-hmm. here in the park. So we wanted to make the most of it as we could.
Yeah.
So we did, after doing Big Branch, we were like, I feel like I could be up for another, I wasn't feeling like I could do like a 12-mile trail,
but I could certainly
do like 5 to 6 miles.
So remember, New River Gorge is very, very long. When we were in Sandstone Falls, we were essentially at sort of like the southern terminus of the park. Like, it's not the very south end of the park. There's a little bit further south, but it's sort of like probably the big thing that's in the south section of the park. And where we were the day before at Canyon Rim Visitor Center, we're pretty much the very northern terminus of the park. Grandview sort of the top of the bottom third of the park. And it was relatively on the way back for us to get to where we were staying. So it was kind of like perfect in that Brian and Tina were able to drop us off and then get us from there later on.
Brian, who loves to drive mm-hmm. and is very happy to drive the entire time, dropped us off, was happy to drop us off and pick us up. and it was only about 15 minutes from where we were staying.
Mm-hmm. They were sort of like, we're okay to miss this section. Like, we're not going to be sad about it. But they did decide that they were going to get out and just walk around to the giant overlook with us. And Shay was going to join just for a little bit. And then they were like, we're going to dip and you guys have a great time, basically. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Because New River Gorge is so close to neighborhoods and is on the edge of neighborhoods, this was sort of a funny drive getting to the Grandview section.
Yeah.
We passed a professional theater company on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely clocked that. Oh, right. And I told the story to y'all about the Black Swans at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival.
Yes.
Because I grew up going to Montgomery, Alabama, to the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. It was it is still in operation. Wonderful theater company, incredible shows. And they were a real rep company, meaning they had two stages, but they'd be doing like five shows at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they would literally, like, you could see a show in one theater in the afternoon and go back to the same theater and see a different show in the evening, and the set was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And there were occasionally times where they would like leave the theater open so you could watch the changeover.
Sure.
But this place looks like, it looks just like
the Globe.
England. Mm-hmm. Like, it is made to look like the rolling hills of England. And they had, like, you know, there's a whole thing about who paid for all of it, right? But they had money. They wanted in their lake to have black swans, just like the queen has at one of her castles.
Mm-hmm. Well, the queen had.
Had, right.
R.I.P.
So what was funny was, they finally, after like months of trying to get the right person to figure out who to contact, they finally get the right person on the phone. And the person is like, oh, yes, we actually buy all of the black swans at this spot in Alabama. And here is the address. And it was like 10 minutes down the road from mm-hmm. them in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
So they just went down the road, bought the black swans, and then came back.
Hilarious.
I know.
Once we get into the parking lot of the Grandview section, which is very, very big because this is a pretty sweeping view. So I think it's probably a very popular part of the park. I feel like this was probably the biggest parking lot we saw when we were there. Brian and Tino also get out of the car because we want to all go up to the overlook together. And the overlook is not that far up from the parking lot. It's a pretty quick walk. And when Brad and Grandma Joy and Jess and Evan were with us in the fall, we also did this section.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wonderful about this section, about Grandview, is like we pull in. It's sort of like a circular parking mm-hmm. area. You can park anywhere. There was always parking spots mm-hmm. anytime we were there. It was never overcrowded both times we were there. And there is this one sort of like, you just take the sidewalk out to this view. Mm-hmm. It's maybe about 200 feet. And there's some fencing up or some railings up.
Yeah.
And you can see this very picturesque view of the river making a bend around this one sort of like, I'll call it a hillside. I don't know if it's tall enough to be a peak.
Sure.
I mean, it's a peak, but it's not a mountain.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like a horseshoe type of bend, mm-hmm. right? When you look at pictures of New River Gorge, it's often that picture
right.
that pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian and Tino and us walked out there to get to look at this. And then we also did this with Brad and Grandma Joy and Jess and Evan. And this was also a place where some additional friends of Brad who were joining us on this joined along. Like we met up with them there.
Yeah, some of his friends from vet school. So
that's
right. Walking out to the main overview is a long kind of wide slate sidewalk. As you get closer to the edge, you notice that there are parts of the path that cut off of this main artery in both directions. So we definitely clocked that. And you and I, when we were in there in the spring, knew we were going to be jutting off onto these guys. They're sort of, once you get to the grand view, quote unquote, view, there are two sort of sections. One is like an upper viewing area, which is just a little bit higher with some deck railing around it, and a sign that points out kind of like the distant landmarks and hills in the distance. And then you can go further down into like this horseshoe kind of, it's all natural there. There's like the stone is still there, but it's not like a deck. It's just deck railing up so you don't fall over the edge.
Correct.
And get like a more panoramic view there.
Right. Mm-hmm. seeing this sort of horseshoe bend of the New River when we were there in the spring, it was very brown and very tan. And you could see speckled into the hillside were like peaks of green trying to emerge. Mm-hmm. But it was mostly gray, almost like the color of the trees were also almost the color of the water.
Yeah.
Water obviously is going to be reflective of whatever is around it.
But the water seemed muddy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't, it was a lot of browns melded together.
Yeah.
Not dark, very light gray browns, mm-hmm. right? Like a sage brown happening across the landscape.
Yeah.
And like seeping into the water.
Yeah.
In the fall, when we were there with Brad and Grandma Joy, this looked a little different.
Yeah. Very different.
It was the picturesque fall kind of
dabbles of yellow.
Yes.
A lot of green still.
Lots of green. Small hints of like burnt orange mm-hmm. coming through. Mm-hmm. A little bit of brown here and there. But it was seeing the same spot again at a different time of year.
Yeah.
Reasons why going back to natural yeah. spaces is always such a beautiful privilege
yeah.
and blessing and honor if you get to do that, mm-hmm. right? Because now here is this spectacular space and it's a different experience
yeah.
because of the time.
Yeah.
Because of when this is.
Yeah, for sure. In the spring, when we were originally there with Brian and Tino, they leave us and they head back to the car after kind of taking some time to look around. And we were definitely having some cell phone issues. So we were like, listen, we kind of calculated based off of the mileage we were going to trek how long it would take us to get back to the parking lot. And we kind of gave like an estimate of time for Brian, if he didn't hear from us, when he should probably be back in case for some reason. And we packed some extra time in there just so that Brian wouldn't have to wait for us. So we would just have to wait for him if we had returned early. Yeah.
So we decided to first hike the tunnel trail.
Which is what I would recommend to do first.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's short.
Yeah.
It's short,
yeah.
everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's quick. The tunnel trail is off of this main overlook sidewalk that we were talking mm-hmm. about. This is one of the things that forks off.
Mm-hmm.
It was to the right as we were headed out to the main overlook. So,
or on the left if you're headed back to the parking lot.
Back to the parking lot. Mm-hmm. It really is a short, sweet little trail, but I loved this trail.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was a half mile in total.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is worth like adding it in if you're at Grandview.
Yeah.
Or hey, if it's the only thing you want to do at Grandview.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Worth going to Grandview just to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you in the way that you have described walking around in this area or doing this trail mm-hmm. as referring to it as like a mythical quest.
Oh my God. It 1000% was the quest stands upon a knife's edge.
Right. It was
stray. There and is, the forces of the Dark Lord will succeed.
Leaving the sidewalk of the to the main overlook, mm-hmm. we descend these stairs and sort of are in the throes of it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And this is giant boulders,
mm-hmm.
moss on the giant boulders.
Just all the moss.
Bright green moss still happening on mm-hmm. the boulders.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath a canopy of forest.
Mm-hmm.
It was the stuff that Game of Thrones is made of.
I think it was like Lord of the Rings for me.
Okay, Lord yeah. of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, so yeah. I don't know.
I know. I'm surprised you threw that reference.
You're welcome.
There's still a pretty big autumn feel here because there's really just dead leaves everywhere. Let your leaves decompose, folks. It's what they're there to do. Like, stop putting them in bags. Make your neighbors mad, but it's true. Like, let them decompose.
That's right.
This is why forests, you know, have all of those, you know, beautiful things happening in them because of decomposition.
Yes, natural part of the life cycle.
Yeah, yeah. There are some pops of green here and there. As we're heading down and you're on the trail for a little bit, which is for the most part in the beginning, that kind of slate sidewalk that we had talked about when we come out on the overlook trail, we do get to go through this little gap of rock, like split rock that's at like a hip high. And again, it just sort of was like, oh, we're entering into the boundary of fairy. I mean, anytime you and I walk together, we're entering in the boundary of fairy.
We bring the boundary of fairy right. at all times.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sweetie.
Yeah.
And then up ahead of us, there was this signboard that looks like gigantic piles of slate covered mm-hmm. in moss. Mm-hmm. So we head to the right around one of mm-hmm. these piles. And I think we did say this, like, it definitely felt like we were going to run into Cate Blanchett as Galadriel at any moment.
You offer me the ring freely? I do not deny. I have thought about it. Mm-hmm. And instead of a Dark Lord, you would have a terrible queen, terrible and mighty as the dawn. All will love me. This is what I cosplay as.
I am shocked.
In my life. Cate Blanchett as Galadriel.
I don't know if it's cosplay, if it's just how you exist. You know what I mean?
I am just living
just
my life
are
like Cate.
Cate Blanchett as Galadriel. I, however, am living my life as Cate Blanchett in this whatever new movie where she's like the
Tar,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, this is very intense and I love it. Mm-hmm. It is just so beautiful here. This is evocative very much of Scudic Peninsula. Mm-hmm. I mean, for people who listen to this show all the time, we adored the Scudic Peninsula Trail in Acadia. And it really doesn't compare much to many other things. And we highly recommend, do not go to Acadia and not do the Scudic Peninsula Trail. Go back and listen to that episode. Mm-hmm. You just hear us gush about that
mossy.
Beautiful trail.
It's mossy and beautiful.
It's mossy and beautiful and
the
fairy-like.
Way the light was here, it was just beautiful.
And this was a late afternoon day when we were doing this.
It was about 3 o'clock, I think, when we had started to hike. Yeah.
So it wasn't an overhead light. We were getting some side light coming in, just sort of like spilling into through the canopy of the trees, like onto the rocks, onto the moss, onto the decomposing leaves.
Yeah. We do hit this point where it looks like you can sort of, like, when we're alongside this one big boulder where it feels like you can maybe climb down to the trail below, but it's sort of blocked off. It's not big enough for you to kind of, it's like kind of stair-steppy down into this hollow of the rock, but it's not big enough for you to get through because the trail itself is kind of like a balloon. Like where we first came out was like the string of the balloon, and now we're walking around the loop section. So this would have potentially brought us down to the bottom of the loop that would have connected us back up to the string, but no such luck.
Okay, so as we continue to wind around, we encounter what looks to be like this like boulder scramble on our left. It eventually gives way to these larger rocks that we do have to scoot around. The rock overhangs here, there's rock overhang over the trail, which is sort of a foreshadowing to what will come later.
Yes.
But yes, we come along these like white cliffs that are like pockmarked and dappled with moss. And there's like a pretty big split on the rocks right before a bend in a much bigger rock. So this bigger rock that we encounter is pretty solid at the top, and it looks a little more chunky and like broken at the bottom.
After winding our way around this, we then encounter like a surprise boardwalk. So this sort of takes us underneath an overhang, like a much bigger overhang than what we had just experienced. And there are like such cool, like the thing about this trail was the rocks were really neat. And they're not like necessarily special, but this is where like geology is like so fascinating. And I'd love to know more about the geology of
and
the space.
The things that grow on rocks.
Yes, yes.
If
like
that is
moss. Like,
if that is the thing that makes you like just
come alive,
piques your interest, then tunnel trail is for you. Mm-hmm.
The boardwalk is very short, but we definitely hang under that overhang section, which is where the boardwalk is for a little bit. And then there are some stone steps that allow you to continue on and up.
So eventually we get beyond this overhang section and we get to some even bigger boulders that here are actually blocking the sun a bit. I remember there was like a significant temperature change in the shade.
Yeah. Well, it was still like, it was a warmer day, but it was a spring day. So like warmer was like, oh, it's 62. But like cooler in the shade was like, oh, it's like the high 30s here, you know?
Right.
So then we, you know, after walking a little bit down this path, we come across these large set of wooden stairs that basically take us down. So now we're kind of at like the bottom of the loop in some ways and starts to loop us back up and around on the bottom part of the trail, essentially the low road, if you will, that would take us sort of back up to the main artery. And this was really just, I remember being like kind of like a very much so like bottom preview of what was up above. So there was just like a lot of like woods off to our right and then like kind of the rock up to our left the whole way.
And with that, let's take our first break. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. All right. It's time to play a game we started playing here in New River Gorge, which is, I don't understand the appeal.
It's sort of like unpopular opinions, essentially. Right. Yeah. So this was like where we would like say something that was like very much so like in the zeitgeist.
It was controversial yet brave.
It was controversial but yet brave. There you go. So, and then we kind of like parsed it out a little bit. So mayonnaise is the thing that we talked about a lot, obviously, because we always talk about mayonnaise with you.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
And we always talk about mayonnaise with you. Yeah. So it's like, it's a shared experience. Mm-hmm. You've got one.
I do. Yes.
Go for it.
Since we're in the fall season.
Okay.
I don't understand the appeal of prescribed dry, boring Thanksgiving turkey dinners that like, I don't understand the appeal of that. Like,
you mean like
that people are like, oh my God, I love Thanksgiving for the turkey. And like I don't get that. I think Thanksgiving is a holiday. Just do it weird. Like, why does it have to be such a prescribed formula for that holiday?
Yeah.
I just think turkey is the boringest. No thanks.
Wait, but do you think turkey is boring?
I do.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, a lot of people were like, I love the sides for Thanksgiving. People make their personality the sides for Thanksgiving. They're
That's
like,
true.
This is my personality. It's the Thanksgiving sides. And yeah, there are some great sides for Thanksgiving, mostly
sure.
comfort food. But like, let's do like a Greek Thanksgiving and just make all Greek food. Or let's do like a Thai Thanksgiving. Like, why
let's
does it have to
be?
Let's
just open it up, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't understand the appeal of Thanksgiving, I guess.
I mean, I feel like you really love turkey and you make it very well. I could understand wanting to do it then, but like I have to say, like it took me a long time in my life to come around to Thanksgiving food.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Similar unpopular opinion. I don't get the appeal. Like, I never ever liked cornbread dressing. Just to me,
is this yours or is this just jumping off of what
we're
talking?
Jumping
okay,
off.
Yeah.
I have something else to share. But I just never, like, even when it was well made, I was like,
I
think it's
is.
The texture
so,
thing.
Thank you for introducing
or
something
stuffing.
To me.
It might you might know what a stuffing
oh, okay, okay.
But that you make it in a pan.
Yeah.
And you bake it.
Yeah.
And it's cornbread.
Yeah, I got you.
Right. We call it dressing in the South.
Interesting.
It's called dressing in the South. Mm-hmm. But anyway, no, just that was never good. I never liked it. My mom is an incredible cook and is, I mean, lauded for her Thanksgiving food, which does sort of follow the traditional Thanksgiving food, but she loves it. So that's why she does that, right? I mean, I'm one to be like, as soon as something's like, well, this is the way it's always done, I'm like, I'm out. I'm not here. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't want it. This is all the more reason to change it
change
up.
Change it.
You know what I mean?
Change it.
Do something else, right? But I do love a good weird. I love a weird Thanksgiving.
Yeah, maybe that's the opportunity. If you're like you're steeped in tradition in your family, that's when like a Friendsgiving can sort of like be the antidote to that, you know?
I do want to share with something that we have done with our group of friends. I do love our like sort of themed potlucks that
we have.
We have themed potlucks from like every now and again.
Yeah,
right?
We've done a ravioli night. We did a sausage making
night. The ravioli night was so great.
Yeah.
And this as was the sausage making night. But like the way that the ravioli worked was like there was like, someone did the math and was like, there are going to be this many people here. You need to bring as much
filling and sauce making material
for a ravioli so that everybody can get two or something like
and
that.
And then be able to take home like four to six.
Six.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Like we all only ate like two raviolis per like, you know, ravioli that was made.
But that was like 10 or 12 ravioli.
Right. Yeah. And then we all got all these to-go containers and we could all eat ravioli for like the next 2 months because yeah. We, you know, froze it and like it was great.
It was great. Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah. I love we're gathering for food, you know, and I will say, as I mentioned, you know, like my family adores the traditional Thanksgiving stuff.
Yeah.
But we've all worked really hard to perfect all those various things, right? And so I think that's why we really enjoy them.
Yeah.
And we never make them otherwise.
Yeah.
Except at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So like nobody's making turkey. Nobody's making, you know, like,
yeah.
Except for these big giant dinners. Yeah. But yes, I'm for like the explorer.
Yeah.
Get weird with
yeah.
it. The thing I was going to say, I don't understand the appeal, is combos.
Oh, okay.
Meaning the snack food mm-hmm. that is often available at gas stations. I am sorry. I just think they're not tasty.
Well, I mean, they have a taste to them. It's a taste you don't enjoy.
I don't enjoy.
And that's fair.
I don't get the appeal.
Yeah, that's
no,
fair.
No, part of it, I'm like, anytime I eat a combo, I'm like, this is disgusting.
They're like
this
the lowest common denominator, like junk food. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
the thing that like I would reach for last. Slim Jims are high on my list of
things.
Well,
Slim Jims are great.
Yeah.
But combos, no. No. Mm-mm. Mm. It's just not. It's
you don't
just
like
not
the pizza
it for
filling
me.
Or the cheese.
No.
Mm.
No.
I mean, what about the peanut butter ones? Do they make those? I feel like they should because it's
I don't,
like basically peanut butter pockets without the pocket.
Well, I'm not allowed to have those anymore.
Right, you aren't because right. of normal reasons.
Because of farts, everybody. We're going to be honest with everybody here. When Dusty has peanut butter filled pretzels, it becomes a lethal situation for everyone around.
Everybody.
So we have said, you know what? We're not bringing peanut butter filled pretzels. Mm-mm. With SS snacks anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. I do have those, however, on my own time.
Mm-hmm.
But then
when you can, you know, hotbox yourself.
Hotbox myself. And I do have to say, I don't do that often because it's also not an enjoyable experience. Mm. So now we are about to embark onto the Castle Rock Trail.
Right.
Which is another offshoot from the main Overlook Trail here at the Grandview area in mm-hmm. New River Gorge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like almost like just like a hop skip over.
Oh, yeah. You just like come up from tunnel view and you
and then you walk
diagonally
across
walk
and then
across.
There you go.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We definitely did some research in the car about this and found that in Grandview in total, we'd be hiking about 4 miles. So this was like perfect in our like we're tired, but we could still do more hiking. Not a 12-mile day. With Castle Rock, you also have the opportunity and option to get onto the Grandview Rim Trail here, which is exactly what we were going to do. There was really only one other trail in this section, which was the Little Laurel Trail. And we definitely considered it, but it wasn't along the rim and it seemed like it was more of a walk in the woods. And these two just seemed, or I should say three, Tunnel, Castle Rock and Grandview Rim seemed more interesting because of their locations.
And because of what we might be able to see from them.
Exactly.
So Castle Rock Trail is a 1.1 mile loop. However, there's two sections of it and there's a way to connect later with the Grandview Rim Trail.
Mm-hmm.
While we will end up doing the entire loop eventually on this trail, we're starting by taking the lower spur of the trail, which goes lower next to the canyon edge,
yeah.
but down like inside of it a little bit.
Yes.
And that is going to then bring us to the Grandview Rim Trail and later on to a terminal point to Turkey Spur Rock.
Right, exactly. As soon as we get on the trail, it basically dives down immediately and takes us along a very rocky ridgeline. And there are still loads of leaves here, but amongst them are incredibly green rhododendron, which gives some lovely burst of life coming through in the spring here.
Not far above us is the upper ridge. So we're able to get some good views of the river while we're down here.
Mm-hmm.
But there is literally, it's like hiking next to a wall.
Yeah.
We were hiking next to a wall to our left, and it points over to the right. The vegetation would open up and clear, and we could have a like picturesque, giant, sweeping, panoramic view of the horseshoe bend of the New River.
Right. It kind of, in my mind, felt like the petroglyphs trail in Mesa Verde, minus, of course, the ruins and the petroglyphs, because it was sort of like same thing. We would hike, we hiked the lower part,
and then we came back on the upper part.
When we got to the petroglyphs, we ended up coming up on the lower part. Yeah. So it feels like the rock wall, which is to our left, is really compacted and made up of separate layers of stone. It's really neat to see how this rock differs in a lot of ways from what we saw on the tunnel trail, because it is very different here.
And the stacked rock in this wall is serving a bunch of different shades of gray, brown, tan, and like striations are visible.
Again, a ton of rhododendron. It's got to be very beautiful in the spring when everything's in bloom here. And it's always really cool. Like, I just feel like we've been in so many spaces, even in New River when we were on Long Point, where the rhododendron sort of create this tunnel. They just kind of gnarl together and they kind of sweep over the trail. I even feel like when we were in Hawaii, there were rhododendron, like kind of like creating tunnels for you to walk through. I'm sure, which had been altered just for you to walk through, but it's neat.
Generally speaking, this is a beautiful, beautiful walk.
Mm-hmm.
That felt so magical because the light from the sun is beaming through the vegetation off to the right, and it's hitting the wall in different spots, and it's illuminating different spots of the rock and giving things different color.
Mm-hmm. Much of the trail is a descent, but eventually we will start to bound back up. And that sort of is our signifier that we're getting a little closer to the Grand View Rim Trail.
So we both had our poles with us here on this hiking excursion for this day, which was probably good because there were quite a few tree roots here and some, like, you know, medium sized stones that, you know, we had to step over at various points along this lower spur.
Mm-hmm. There are a bigger section of rocks and roots that we have to get over before it becomes a little bit flatter ground. And again, here it's just so much rhododendron and so much moss the entire way, which again, adding to the picturesque nature of this whole section in general. I do feel like for me, this felt like the prettiest sort of section in New River. And I'm sure when it's all green is, you know, we didn't get a chance to get on these trails when we were there when it was greener, but correct. I'm sure it was beautiful in the fall.
We did get to another section of this and we stumble upon this huge rock wall that is just sort of sloping and curving, and we have to make our way around it or up against it in order to continue on the trail. But it was it had a very slate stone feel to it. I remember feeling it, feeling how cold the stone was, and just seeing the light bounce off of it.
This is also where we start to see bigger sections of the river because there are clearer views. And eventually, that big rock wall sort of leads us to what I would guess would be what would be considered to be Castle Rock. All densely packed stone. There are so many different colors here, which, again, catches the light in so many truly beautiful ways. The wall is sharp but beautiful, and it's almost like a gigantic sort of slate backsplash. I feel like we just felt so small here. All of a sudden, it just feels like the elevation of this wall based off of everything else we had been hiking along is just like two or three times taller. Like, it just felt immense there.
Well, a lot of awe and wonder just here in this moment. We were also the only ones here on this trail.
Well, that's what I felt like, though, sort of the entire time. Like,
in New River, or just here?
In a lot of New River, it was very quiet, which ain't no complaints about that.
No
complaints. But Tunnel, we saw a few people, but here on Castle Rock, we saw no one really. And even when we get into Grandview or the Grandview Rim Trail, there really wasn't anybody until we got to the end. So it was very, very quiet, which was nice. It just added to the very kind of peaceful, late kind of day feel.
Yes. And the other thing that I really like about this trail is that it offered so many textures, right? I remember the texture of the ground changing a lot based on where we were. Yeah. Sometimes it was dirt. Sometimes it was dirt with gravel. Sometimes it was roots. Sometimes it was stone. And then the texture of the wall is just constantly changing as we were walking by it. And sometimes it was speckles inside of the stone. Sometimes it was really, really flat and cold stone. Sometimes it was like a little bit more jagged. Sometimes mm-hmm. it had more layers to it. But there was a lot of really beautiful like ebb and flow of different textures happening
yeah.
constantly.
Yeah. This is also a section where, as we get closer to the end of Castle Rock, just we get incredible views of the river here. A lot more clear-cut views of what was happening. I do have to say, Castle Rock felt like, if that's what we're going to call it, felt like it was a very long section of wall. Because I just felt like we walked under it. Maybe it was just the awe that made it feel very long. Because mm-hmm. I just remember like looking up at it, like looking at it all different angles. After like kind of the section, we all of a sudden bound up pretty quickly, and that kind of takes us right to the Grandview Rim Trail.
And with that, let's take our second break. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome to the stage
a double act.
My sister and I had an act that couldn't flop. My sister and I had dental queens that went straight to the top.
Queen number one is
Calisterine.
And her sister, Halitosis.
That's right. Welcome to the stage.
Calisterine, Halitosis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah. They're dental queens.
I guess they are dental queens.
There's no way to escape it.
No. We have to just
I feel embrace. Like they have sexy teeth dancers that come out in costumes.
Oh, who are just teeth?
Yeah, their teeth. But like it's like you can see their abs and their pecs through their teeth costume. It's a very sex positive act.
Okay. Oh, I see. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're just painted white.
Mm-hmm.
Like their bodies are painted mm-hmm. white.
And they maybe wear like a crown that looks like a tooth.
Like the top molar, of a tooth.
Like
right.
a molar. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Great.
Oh, I'm here for it. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm like, well, maybe they're like, oh, no, I have it.
Oh, okay.
I have it.
Mm-hmm.
No, the dancers, they're all dirty teeth.
Oh, their dirty teeth.
And through like...
Dirty mouth.
And through like a scrub down... and through like water from the ceiling uh-huh. a la Flashdance,
mm-hmm.
they become
clean
the tartar is washed away.
Got it.
There we
go. Got it. I love it.
Yes.
So it's a very immersive experience.
It's an immersive experience. Yes.
And it's all to teach kids about
dental hygiene.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if it's to teach kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's to teach adults about dental hygiene.
So they can relay it to their children.
Because let's be honest, I know a lot of adults who need some dental hygiene
yeah.
reminders.
Yes.
Right?
Some gentle dental hygiene
mm-hmm. reminders.
That's right. I feel like Candy Girl is a song that's sung.
Oh, I like
yeah.
that. Uh-huh. And or I Want Candy
yeah.
is probably also
And
another
also
one.
Candy by Mandy Moore. It's a maybe it's like a three song mashup.
I feel like that'd be great. I love that.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's also Smile incorporated by that one singer, Lily Allen. Lily Allen. Oh. Smile by Lily Allen, I think, is part of it. Because if it's, we can't do Smile like written by Charlie Chaplin because it's just too much of a downer.
Smile. That one. Though your heart is breaking.
I mean, it's such a sad song, y'all. Sorry about it. So sad.
Yeah, yeah. And I do feel like their merch is like a bag with, like, you'd get from the dentist.
Absolutely.
It's just floss. It's your travel toothpaste.
Reach brush. And yeah.
No, maybe it's a bamboo brush. Maybe they partner with, like, you know, a...
No plastic.
Bamboo,
compostable. Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. And then...
little glass vial with your floss in it.
Exactly.
Instead of plastic.
Perfect.
And some chewable toothpaste tablets.
There you go.
We're not naming any sponsors.
No, no.
We're not sponsored.
Because we don't know any of those.
Yeah.
It's a
paper bag, not a plastic bag.
Right. Great. Right. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome this double act to the stage.
Cholesterine and Halitosis.
So, we finally get to the top.
Yeah, I mean, that made it sound like we had climbed the summit of Everest.
But
yes.
We didn't. We got to the
Grandview Rim Trail, basically.
Right. So, getting to this sort of like T juncture, if we head to the left, we would have taken the upper part of Castle Rock mm-hmm. back to the starting location, back to that main overlook trail. Mm-hmm. Or if we go to the right, we take the Grandview Rim Trail off to a terminal point, and that terminal point was Turkey Spur Rock.
Mm-hmm. And so, in total, on the way out to Turkey Spur Rock from this point, it would be 1.25 miles. And then all the way back to the parking lot from there, it's about 1.75 miles, adding in the half a mile for the top of Castle Rock Trail. Not at all that bad, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. No, this is a really lovely walk. Mm-hmm. And what I did appreciate getting up to the top and getting onto the Grandview Rim Trail was that the terrain became flat.
Ugh, and soft.
And soft because we had been on rocky terrain, mm-hmm. uneven terrain for a while.
Mm-hmm. The only unfortunate thing here is that most of this part of the trail to Turkey Spur Rock is decline. And we know in our brains that, oh girl, we're going to be climbing up when we're tired at the very end of our day. So, oh well, c'est la vie. We get a little nice rhododendron tunnel as soon as we get up, but it's all very soft forest floor rather than having to climb over a really, really bouldery landscape like Dusty was saying. So I think I probably packed my poles up at this point knowing what was happening and kind of reading the landscape there.
But we are essentially walking along the edge of the road here,
like the entire time, essentially.
Yeah. I remember I got a phone call here.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the phone call was about.
You were like, I have to take this. I'm really sorry.
Oh, it was work.
Yeah.
It was work, and it was my friend who was also my boss at the time giving me a whole bunch of updates about things. And I remember like that allowed us to just sort of like...
We kind of paused because we weren't sure that like cell phone reception would continue to keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we paused, which gave us a nice little break for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sign here about peregrine falcons.
Yeah, and there was a process known as hacking, which is apparently where young falcons are placed in a structure and cared for in a manner that minimizes human exposure to them.
I was not a birder yet, and so...
I mean, you were always a birder.
Yeah, but she had not blossomed into...
Heart, don't fail me now.
Into the birder that I am now.
No, it's true. It's true.
So I remember seeing that and being like, oh, interesting, but... I don't know that I was even, like, I can't go on a trail and not hear every bird sound now.
Yeah.
And, like, at this point, I wasn't doing that.
Yeah. So, after we're at this pause for a minute, and we read a little bit more about hacking and, you know, peregrine falcons, we continue on through a little bit more of rhododendron tunnels and then a lot of open space along the roadway. It's at this point, you know, when we're hiking... We are really, really love the band Lake Street Dive. We're kind of semi-obsessed, you know, with them as a band.
We saw them in concert.
We saw them twice in the last year, basically.
Twice this summer.
Yeah. Great band. So this is like right around the time.
I'm sorry, that was wrong. We didn't see them twice this summer. We saw them last fall, and then we saw them this summer again.
Yeah, yeah.
Twice in the same tour.
Basically, yeah. So their new singles had dropped. And so we were just kind of like singing and chatting.
But as you know, my single is dropping.
is dropping. This is sort of also our first and only time on this trip, the entirety of the trip, where we were without Brian and Tino, like where it was just like old buddies hanging out again. Mm-hmm. So it was
I think what you mean to say is old biddies hanging out again.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced the U should have been a I.
Yeah.
But it was nice because we didn't have that, you know, I mean, God, it was so great to hike with all four of us, but we're so used to just the two of us most of the time. It was like, oh, this is our moment here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just back on our old bullshit, like singing songs from Annie and talking about boys.
And it also reminded us of like, oh, yeah, this is why I hike with you all the time, because it's always a good time.
Mm-hmm. Betcha he reads.
Betcha she sews.
Exactly. There are times on this trail where we are right against the road and there are essentially no guardrails. Just thinking about that as the sun starts to set and how much fun that would be to be along the roadside with no light.
As we continue walking, we come upon a giant set of stairs that we have to go...
A little hyperbole there.
What's that?
It's a little bit of hyperbole there. They are giant in their own way, but I think for this, our purposes, they're sort of like small potatoes when we think about stairs.
At the time of our exhaustion, they felt like a lot.
They did, yes.
And we had to descend them.
Yes.
This was not great for...
Our mental state for
later? No, it brought up frustration. Mm-hmm. It brought up anger. It brought up sadness. Mm-hmm. It brought up pain. So, and we knew that we would just have to climb them later.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. We bound down a little bit. And this is when we can start to see the Turkey Spur Rock in the distance. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are some cars there.
Yeah, we can see some cars driving out to it too.
And that there's a parking lot sort of there. But the road that is headed to the spot, the trail is sort of running alongside it.
Yes. As we get close to it, again, we're basically the entire time on this trail, we're the only people there until we're at Turkey Spur Rock. And that's where people are getting out of their cars to kind of like do the sights here. There's a paved path as we get closer to the rock that leads us up to a fire escape style kind of set of stairs. And there is a decent amount of them. This takes us up to the top, which is the terminal point, really, for this trail.
It does feel like a battlement in some ways, or sort of like a giant playground up here, because it was different
viewpoints,
structures built that are connected by different stairs. Sometimes it felt like we had to go up. And then in order to go down, in order to go up again, in order to get to another one.
Yeah.
So it was a little Jungle Jimmy in that way. But it offered some really spectacular views.
I mean that, aside from the grand view, and this is the thing too, you know, obviously this is not necessarily a point that everyone can do because it is stair accessible. But if you can see grand view, it's a beautiful view and it's mostly very accessible out there. But if you have the opportunity and you can drive, even if you don't want to hike out here, which is, it's not a terribly long hike. It's almost 2 miles out and 2 miles back. And if you don't want to hike it, you can just drive it. It's kind of a great view.
It's like, worth it.
You
certainly
get a different sort of shot of the river, different bends in the river. Again, here we're seeing kind of the brownish landscape that is pervasive at this time, but there are some purple points in the background, like of the mountain peaks, that it's like, oh, okay, well, it's interesting to see the different color because the brown is only so interesting
the
at
brown,
this point.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. We stay up here for a few minutes after we finally get to the top of Turkey Spur Rock. We stay up here for a few minutes. We take it in. I remember sitting on a bench for a few, just sort of drinking in the surroundings. Mm-hmm. This was also where we had a little bit of cell phone signal.
Yeah.
So we let Brian know, hey, it should be about 30 minutes until we're back to the parking lot.
Yeah.
We sent that message along, and then it was also around 4:30. We said, oh, we're probably going to lose light soon, so let's hoof it back.
Yeah. We have to climb back up that giant hill of steps.
Well, first we have to climb down Turkey Spur Rock. And then we make it back onto the trail that is on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And alas, those stairs.
Yeah. And this is all just sort of uphill. We kind of toyed around with, oh, should we just have Brian come out to the rock and drive out
here? That was another thought. And we said, no,
because he's already coming out to get us.
And he totally would have.
Yeah.
He totally would have without a problem. But we had made a plan and wanted to honor what the plan was.
Yeah. We, once we get up those steps, are sort of like booking it at this point, enjoying the scenery, but now the tireds have set in. So our walls have approached and
we
are...
delirium
is here. Yeah. Because we'd done on this day already all of Sandstone Falls, then hiked Big Branch, then did this.
And then did all of this.
So we did like a lot.
And that's like the last month and a half of episodes, everybody, all in one day.
Yeah. Yeah. When we get back to the Rhododendron Tunnel where we came up from Castle Rock Trail, we know we only have a half mile left and we're both like ecstatic about that to get back to the parking lot area.
The upper part of the Castle Rock Trail feels terrainly very similar to what we have just been on over on the Grandview Rim.
Just a little
rim.
Bit more trees, maybe.
A little more trees.
Densely kind of
trees. We do finally start to see the parking lot in the distance. As we get closer, we know we have a little bit of time left before Brian is to get here. So we just plop down on a bench and we just sit there and we hang out and eat snacks.
Oh my God. My favorite part after hiking is just like silent but loud crunching. Snacking.
And that was what we did. It did feel a little bit like waiting on Dad to come pick us up.
And Dad did pick us up.
Or Mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian could also be Mom.
Brian, yes. But he definitely was like, oh, boys, how was soccer today?
And we were like, it was good, Dad.
Yep. Or Mom.
Or Mom. Yeah. And yes, so we told him all about it. And then we headed back to the cabin
for some hot tub evening.
All right, let's put these different sections onto the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
Okay, tunnel hike.
Tunnel trail, I would say, is a 4. I felt like it was nice. It was a little challenging, but like very doable.
And I'm actually going to say a 3.
Okay.
Because in my recollection of it, it felt fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
So a 7 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Great. What about Castle Rock Trail?
Let's specifically do the lower section. I'm going to give that a 4.
Okay.
Because yes, the terrain is a little bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I do remember like it's a bit of a grunt to get down and then to get back up.
Okay. Mine felt like a 4 there too. I felt like these both felt, this was a little trickier, but I felt like it was 4 worthy. 4-thy.
4-thy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what about the rim trail out to Turkey Spur?
I'm also going to give it a 4. Like, I feel like it's 4s across the board for me. I didn't feel like anything here was too strenuous or particularly difficult. I felt like they're very middle of the road, kind of manageable trails. And they're just nice views.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also giving it a 4.
Yeah.
So 8 out of 20 for the Castle Rock, 8 out of 20 for the Grandview Rim Trail. And I feel like generally these are all on the lower end of moderate, if that.
For sure.
Or the upper end of easy.
So a nice way to explore a section of the park. And you can do it. I think we did it all pretty quickly, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
And also like
an hour and a half, 2 hours.
And I feel like, honestly, if you just do one of these three, you can still get a sense of this section.
Sure.
Without doing all three.
Yes.
And so let's end this episode the way we end all of our episodes, with some Jeopardy style trivia.
Beautiful.
Maybe far away. All right, Mike, why don't I start with mine today?
Great.
Okay. Inspired by Grandview, my category is called In the Viewfinder.
I love it.
Okay, so in each one of these, I'm going to describe for you some different photos that you're seeing in the viewfinder.
Great.
And by viewfinder, I'm thinking of like the
red binoculars.
The red binoculars that you collect.
I knew what you were talking about.
Right, not the thing on the...
Yeah, yeah.
Not the thing on a ledge that you look through.
Not the thing at like the Statue of Liberty that you put a quarter in.
Right, not that. No, I'm talking about
like,
the red viewfinder
to
with
Italy,
slides.
And here are my slides, because that's exactly what those used to be for. It wasn't like when we were kids and like, oh, like here's like a story that you can click through. Like, but my grandparents,
those were really fun.
They
though.
Were, but like, I remember my grandparents had really great ones that they were just basically their slide photos from Italy mm-hmm. that you could make into those wheels, which was so cool.
It was great because, I mean, trust me, I'd rather store those tiny little wheels with like 100 pictures on them than like 100 photos.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, now they don't exist anymore, but whatever. Okay, great. So I'm going to describe for you five things you're seeing in the viewfinder.
And I have to tell you where we're at?
You have to tell me the film.
Oh.
They're all clues for a movie.
Great.
Okay, great. For 100.
Okay.
A tiara.
Mm-hmm.
A heart.
Mm-hmm.
A fishing boat.
Mm-hmm.
Car headlights on a dark road.
Okay.
A hook.
What is I Know What You Did Last Summer?
That's right. Correct.
Uh-huh.
For 200.
Mm-hmm.
A glass of water.
Okay.
A plate of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
A courtroom. A copy machine.
Mm-hmm. What is Aaron Brockovich?
That is right, girl. 2 for 2. For 300.
Mm-hmm.
A clover.
Mm-hmm.
A pom-pom.
Mm-hmm.
A relay race baton.
Mm-hmm.
A crowd at a sporting event.
Mm-hmm.
A second place trophy.
What is Bring It On?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. 3 for 3. For 400, a red feather. A sheer pink robe with feathered boa fringe. A Girl Scout uniform. An expensive looking car. A home in Bel Air.
What is Troop Beverly Hills?
That's correct. Also, what a beautiful, glorious movie.
Beautiful.
That's right. And for 500.
Mm-hmm.
A martini.
Mm-hmm.
A yearbook. A white blazer.
Mm-hmm.
A hanging plant.
Mm-hmm.
A card written on beautiful stationery.
It is the First Wives Club.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. All gay cinema for 5 for 5.
5 for 5.
Great. Well, lovely. That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that's a great category to bring back at some point, too.
In the viewfinder. Saying. I think it's a fun game to play generally.
Yeah, it's sort of like Pentagram, too.
It's like Pentagram, but like... I don't know. Like, it's less about essence.
I haven't played in a while.
It's less about essence and more about visuals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my game is Castles of Fiction. Referencing Castle Rock.
Got it.
Great. For 100. The winter is forbidden till December. And exits March the 2nd on the dot. By order, summer lingers through September. In this mystical and mythical kingdom and castle, also the nickname of JFK's administration.
What is Camelot?
Here in Camelot. Also a musical.
Oh, it's a great musical. Mm-hmm.
Okay, for 200. While very much a castle, built by 4 powerful magicians, this space is also an educational center with like the worst 7-year track record for keeping kids safe.
What is Hogwarts?
That's correct. For 300. Caer Paravel, which actually means lesser court, is a castle long without kings and queens, 4 of them to be precise, as a frosty queen had taken over the land, awaiting not only the kings and queens to sit atop their thrones, but their mystical lion, Jesus, to return in this beloved book series.
Jesus?
Yeah, he's like Jesus.
His name is Aslan.
I know, but like he's like a lion Jesus.
I mean, yeah, but like his name isn't Jesus.
Oh, I know.
I just want to be clear.
Sorry, I know it's not Jesus.
Okay,
sorry,
great.
I should have said lion like Jesus.
Okay,
there we go.
Jesus like lion.
Jesus like lion.
Right.
In this Christian mythology,
I'm a Christian illiterate. Yeah. Right. It's the 30 Rock reference, mm-hmm. everybody. Queen of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
What is Narnia? Or what is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Thank
Narnia
you.
Series
there we
by
go.
C.S. Lewis.
Yes, thank you. Jeez.
Great.
Somebody had trauma around that. Okay. For 400, Barad-dûr and Isengard are 2 tall, tower-like castles in this epic fantasy series by J.R.R. Tolkien. The second of the three book's titles references these castles in the name. Name the series and the book.
What is The Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. and what is The Two Towers?
That's correct. Exactly.
Great.
And for 500, this northernmost castle in this George R.R. Martin fantasy vehicle is sort of like the last defense against the vagrants and demons of anything further north. The name sounds like if this cold and icy season was suddenly tripping over its way into the year.
What is Winter Falls?
Oh, so close.
Hold on, I'm going to try again.
If it's the past tense.
What is Winterfell?
That's correct. There you go.
Winterfell.
Yeah, for 500. Look at you.
Me, and I don't even watch or read Game of Thrones.
There you go.
Great. And I don't because of the wigs. And sorry. the wigs in House of the Dragon aren't much better, everybody. So I still can't participate in that. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images of this episode, visit our Instagram, Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that we're recording this episode that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Middlesex County, New Jersey.